Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Helping you discover the Twin Cities is Radio K's Real College Podcast, online and on the air. My name is Matthew Curtis, and this week we are talking about what it is to be anonymous, to be a figure in the shadows serving a community that doesn't thank you, to not ask for gratitude, to be selfless, and get satisfaction from the action, not the appreciation. Jackie Rinzetti strikes a chord with the piano players of Kaufman, and Max Fuller cleans up the streets with a real-life superhero. Also, we hear The Word on the Street with me, and Radio K's weekly release spotlight. It all starts right now on the Real College Podcast. Not talk too much about the plan. Border on border we live. And baby, I'm just Look up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's just our reporter Max Fuller getting the story behind local superheroes within the Twin Cities.
Even though Batman vs. Superman sucked, superheroes will always have the ability to captivate the hearts of the young and the old across the globe. But how do you define a superhero? Is it the wild, inhuman powers, the selflessness, the cape and the underwear tights, an awesome theme song?
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
What if I told you there were superheroes living among us right now as we speak? Would you believe me? Enter the world of real-life superheroes, or RLSHs for short. They're real people that suit up as Cape Crusaders and patrol the city streets at night. RLSHs have been around in some form or another as far back as the 1970s, and exist in countries all around the world, from Japan to Italy to right here in the United States.
It takes balls to, you know, put on a stupid costume and walk around and say, I'm a real-life superhero, dude.
Meet Geist. Short for Poltergeist, one of several real-life superheroes that reside here in Minnesota.
We're real-life superheroes. People who dress up in crazy costumes realize we have no superpowers, but we want to go out and do something good. Help people however we can.
Like most, Geist's first entry into the superhero world was through comic books.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a superhero. You know, reading the comics and all that. But it wasn't just the comics. You go through experiences and things happen. I mean, there was some serious crime, a couple of murders that happened in my location. And the killer went free for 20 years until he confessed. And he was someone I knew.
So around 2006, after learning about the existence of the RLSH community, Geist decided to become a superhero. But what exactly does that mean in real life?
We are not organized. We're not in agreement about anything. Well, technically, doing good is universally agreed upon. But what that is and how you do it is just all up in the air. Some people only fight crime. Some people help the homeless. Some people help animals. Some people help natural disasters. And sometimes it's just walking the streets, waving people, and and giving them something to laugh at. That's cool, you know? There's a guy, great guy, Polar Man up in Canada. And he shovels snow for people. I don't know, there is no focus to what we do. Yeah. I like to say I fight for the forgotten, meaning anybody overlooked by society, anybody just having bad luck.
A typical night on patrol for Geist begins with suiting up. Initially, his gear was a bit more battle ready.
When we started out doing this, I think all of us, any of us, we think we're going to go out and encounter crime and fight crime people on the streets, you know, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
Now Geist dons a large green cowboy hat atop his head, a tall green trench coat that goes down past his knees, green goggles that look like jade-dyed eyes of a salamander, a small mask that covers the lower half of his face, and blazing emerald gauntlets that shield his forearms. After suiting up, Geist typically prepares homemade care packages consisting of items such as toothpaste, clean underwear, and various canned foods that he hands out to homeless people while walking the streets of Minneapolis.
That was homeless.
See,
15
now
years.
You're the superhero.
We're all superheroes. Everybody just has to open up their heart and realize that we all have a purpose in life. Our main purpose is to be happy. I want to say that, you know, to Geist, you know, he donated $20 to Salvation Army to help guys get a bed. And I just think that's, you know, a wonderful gentleman that just passed by.
It's only a beginning.
And he's a superhero for sure.
Socks.
We got food, we got canned meat, there's some fruit stuff in there.
Man, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like
yeah.
that, man. Thank you, brother.
You bet.
Thank you so much. And I like the gauntlets.
Oh, thank you.
I like the gauntlets,
thank
man.
You, sir.
That's, if I could play with those, man, that would add something to my repertoire.
I know. What was your name again?
My name's Melvin.
Melvin?
Yes.
Nice meeting you, sir.
What's your name?
Geist. So while he can't shoot laser beams out of his eyes or protrude metal claws from his knuckles, Geist finds a way to help however and whoever he can, including himself.
The idea is that if I haven't always been a great person, and I haven't, when I put on this gear, this costume, and walk around and call myself Geist, that's when I'm the best person I can possibly be. I've been doing this for years, right? So I've had problems, you know, work problems and things like that, and personal problems, and when I put on the costume, that all goes away. I don't have those problems. That other guy does. You know, I'm this guy walking around the streets calling myself a real-life superhero. And my only problems are other people's problems.
So superheroes can take many different forms, whether they be a hulking 7 feet tall and green, or they look just like your average Joe. Who knows? You could be standing next to one right now.
I could be just about anybody. I mean, I could be your brother. I could be your mailman. I could be the guy who makes pizza. I could be a banker. That's one of the concepts, too. These superheroes running around, anonymous, could be anybody. Who knows who it is?
For the Real College Podcast, I'm Max Fuller.
Hello, my name is Matthew Curtis, and it is now time for Word on the Street, giving you a taste of the events that you need to be at this week in the Twin Cities. Starting us off, the esteemed Andrew Bird will be playing to a sold-out crowd Tuesday at the First Ave Main Room. He is touring to promote his 10th studio album, Are You Serious?, released earlier this month, which capitalizes on his years of experience honing his unique folk sound to produce his most personal record to date. Here is the first single from the album featuring American indie sweetheart Fiona Apple. This track is called Left-Handed Kisses.
I don't believe everything happens for a reason. To us romantics out here, that amounts to high treason. I don't go in for your star-crossed lovers. In the heart of a skeptic, there's a question that still hovers near. For it begs the question, how did I ever find you? Now you got me writing love songs. Come in a frame like this one, yeah, baby.
And all your left-handed kisses were just prelude to another, prelude to your backhanded love song, baby.
Also on Tuesday, the long-serving Portland punk trio The Thermals will be playing at the Turf Club, ready and willing to share songs from their seventh studio album, We Disappear, released just last month, featuring tracks that will have the audience shouting along and pumping their fists, like this one. Moving on to Wednesday, Venice producer Big Wild is hitting up Minneapolis on his headline tour before supporting electronic superduo Odessa on their upcoming tour in November. Big Wild is thought to be one of the biggest breakout artists of 2016, so if you're lucky enough to have tickets to the sold-out show, you better be excited to hear tracks like this one. Thursday the 21st brings the Mini Psych Fest to the Turf Club, featuring some of the most notorious bands in the Twin Cities: Magnetic Ghost, American Cream, Oaks, Panther Ray, Dead Gurus, The Cult of Lip, and Flavor Crystals will all perform a set that night, so if you're looking for entertainment to get lost in on a Thursday night, you know where to be. This is Flavor Crystals performing live at Radio K. This track is called Mirror in My Mind. That's it for The Wood on the Street. My name is Matthew Curtis, and you're listening to The Real College Podcast. Students might take it for granted as background noise, but for some, the piano in Kauffman Memorial Union serves as an integral part of their college experience. Up next, Jackie Renzetti talks with student pianists about their experiences playing in the center of campus.
There's hardly any open spots left on the couches here at Kauffman Memorial Union, but there's not a lot of conversation. Everyone seems to be doing their own thing, munching on bagels, flipping through textbooks, maybe taking a nap. But whether they realize it or not, they at least have one thing in common. Thanks to the pianist in the corner.
I think it's so special because you're kind of like pouring your heart out and your emotions, and you're sharing that with other people. So it's not only you who gets to feel it, like versus if you were to play it in a practice room. Because then more other people get to see what you're feeling and how your day is going, depending on, you know, what kind of music you play.
That's Anthony Vargas, an actuarial mathematics junior. He started coming in regularly to play the piano as a freshman after he remembered seeing it on a tour in high school.
I thought that was really cool that we got to have a piano in this like student space and stuff, and just being able to share different perspectives on music with other people. I think that's kind of cool.
Whether it's hip-hop or jazz, or pop or classical, students can play any type of music they want on the open piano in the center of campus. For many students, like Management Information Systems junior Vang, it's the only place where they can practice. Vang says she's been playing for about 15 years, and she was looking for a place to keep up her skills after she transferred here from Malaysia.
I miss playing piano a lot, yeah, because I used to play like every day, but then after I came here, I don't have a piano at home. Yeah, that's why I come here.
As pianists labor away, strangers sometimes stop by with compliments. Anthony says he's even seen students join pianists for impromptu jam sessions. Though experiences like these are special, pianists say recognition isn't really important. Computer science senior Carlin Luong has some insight into why.
Playing piano, it's kind of a way for them to de-stress, and it kind of, what they want to do is, from my point of view, is help others de-stress as well. So it doesn't really matter if they know the identity of the player, just kind of like paying it forward, you know? You don't really need to know the person's identity.
Carlin usually scopes out the piano during the evening. Though Kauffman is less crowded at this point, his playing has still affected people, sometimes in tremendous ways.
I remember about 3 years ago, I was having a very stressful week myself, and then there's this one guy who was on the, he was debating whether to, you know, end his life or not, and then he told me after my playing, he was like, you played really well. He told me his story, and then he said that your playing actually, like, you know, helped me, and so I talked to him for a little while, and then we exchanged contact information. I felt like the whole paying it forward, like I really did something good, and then I felt really well, and it really eased me for that day as well, and the mood to come for that week.
As students snooze and snack, English and African American Studies senior Tiffany Trawig sings and plays her own rendition of Tim Hughes' Here I Am to Worship. She's been playing Kauffman's piano since she first came to the U, and right now, she's working on her first professional album. She comes to Kauffman between classes, where she often plays worship, rhythm and blues, or her own original music.
I just have a wonderful time personally. It's like my woosah, you know? And I was actually sitting there today, and when I sat down, I'm like, I have been playing this piano for a really, like this particular piano for a really long time. So, you know, getting ready to graduate in December, I think it's always just going to be a really fond memory that I'll always have, remembering playing the piano in Kauffman. My hope is that I'll be a big star one day, maybe, and I'll remember the days that I used to play at Kauffman Union.
Students come and go over the years, but as long as there's an open piano in Kauffman, there'll be someone playing it. On any given day, pianists sharpen their skills, uplift morale during finals week, or even collaborate and make new friendships. It's easy to take things like a piano in the corner for granted, but when you look up and pay attention, you might be surprised at what you learn. For Real College Podcast, I'm Jackie Renzetti.
And that concludes this week's Real College Podcast. Thank you to Max Fuller, Jackie Renzetti for contributing to this week's show. Our producers are Max Fuller, Patrick Sharkey, Jackie Renzetti, and David Lean. Our managing editor is me, Matthew Curtis, and you can find us online at RadioK.org, iTunes, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. To play us out is our weekly release spotlight, Shoe, the debut album from Lion Limb. Stuart Bronow and Joshua Yeager, members of Angel Olsen's backing band, breathe life into straightforward country rock with jazz fusion instrumentation. To read a full review of the album and download a free track, head on to RadioK.org. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening.